Hello, hello. Welcome to the Risk It with Christy podcast. This is Christy. This episode is a conversation with Jess from Talkin' Tarot. This episode is amazing. It is a long one, but you will be on the edge of your seat every step of the way. We get very deep. I get deep and actually expose a little bit more about myself than I was planning on, and Jess also. So I want to add a little disclaimer and then an apology. The disclaimer is a trigger warning if you are sensitive to conversation about domestic violence, domestic abuse. Please just keep in mind that this episode does have a brief conversation about it. I don't think it's more than like 2 to 5 minutes maybe that we speak on it, but it is a conversation that we have, so I want to be mindful for my listeners on that. Second is an apology. It was intended to post another episode right after this between Jess and I again, and it was going to be a reading. And I was very prepared to, you know, be vulnerable and to share that side with you guys and have the listeners be able to experience Jess's talent. However, I was unprepared at just how talented she is. We got real quick. I think within a minute and a half, I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm posting this because not only would I be airing all of my dirty laundry, but I would also be airing out some of that laundry for the other people that are in my life. And at this point in time, I'm not prepared to do that. So instead of giving you guys the experience of just reading me, we will be running a giveaway. And our giveaway will be so that you can experience Jess and her readings all to yourself. This is why you need to have the notifications on for the podcast. This is why you should be following us on every platform and also on Instagram and TikTok at Risk It with Christy. Also go follow Jess at Talkin' Tarot. On Instagram and on TikTok. I will be posting her social media in the show notes. I will give the feedback of her reading and just say that she's phenomenal. I immediately called my friend afterwards and was like, I feel like I just went to therapy for 10 years. I feel like 10 years of trauma have just been lifted off of me. And that is truly how I feel about my experience with Jess and her reading. It is a conversation. It is a flow through. It is therapy. It is everything. So you're definitely going to want to join the giveaway and you're definitely going to want to hit her up for this experience. All right, let's get into it, guys. Welcome to the Risk It with Christy podcast. This is Christy, and today I am so excited. We are in the full moon in Leo, and how appropriate and serendipitous that we have Jess on the podcast today. Hi, Jess.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. Happy full moon.
Happy full moon. So Jess is a wife, a mom, a certified tarot reader based in Nashville and an intuitive healer. She's the heart and soul behind Talkin' Tarot, which is the cutest name, so clever, where she uses tarot not as a tool for fortune telling, but as a powerful guide for self-discovery and healing. Get ready for an inspiring conversation on how tarot can be a mirror reflecting the truth that is already in us. Are you excited?
I am. I'm ready. I'm so excited. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I love tarot. I think that it is such a useful tool that people can use, but I also come from a background of, you know, my family is very Christian and this is something that I understand both worlds on. So the fact that you're on this today, on this podcast today, I'm just so excited to open up the conversation.
get your take from it, learn what you do. Anyways, I'm so excited. But first, I want to go back. I always like to start back.
Okay.
Where were you before tarot came into your life? Where was little Jess at? What was she doing? And then we can go into kind of like how you were introduced to this, if it wasn't from a young age, and go through the journey.
Okay. I don't even remember my life before tarot. I'm not even kidding. I think I was so young when it was introduced to me, and it was introduced. Have you ever seen the movie Now and Then?
Okay, maybe. Girl, I'm really bad
if you have not, you have to go watch it. Okay. So it's, I watched that movie when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I still watch it to this day, but it's like, it's four girls and they're having a summer together and they're just doing all of these crazy things and whatnot. So one of the scenes is they go see a fortune teller.
I'm looking it up as we speak, but go on.
Wait, well, there's some big people in it, like Demi Moore and Rosie O'Donnell. I mean,
oh, I remember this movie very vaguely. Oh my God. Yes. What a gem.
Okay. Yes. So cute. Okay. So if you've seen it, there's this clip, there's this scene where they go and see this witch. I'm assuming it was a witch. She's like emo and dark and has like the dark hair and whatnot. And it was, it was so dramatic. Like, she pulled a tarot card and I'm just so intrigued. I'm like, what, like, I get goosebumps even thinking about it. What is this that she's doing? And so she pulls out, I think it was the Ten of Swords. And it's basically this guy who's laying just like on his stomach, dead on the floor with all of these swords in his back. And I'm like, okay, cute. Like, what is this? And, you know, I don't know what it was about that scene specifically, but I was like, I want to know more. I want to learn a little bit more about whatever that is. And so
I wonder if, like, at that moment that hit you that way because you were meant to get like a message of the Ten of Swords or something at that point.
Oh my gosh. I never even, little 7 year old me, I never even thought about it.
Like, maybe that was a something that you were meant to, because I watched that movie and I was just like,
you're just like, oh, but yeah, I don't know. Like, even prior to that, like, my parents will tell you I had like magic kits and I would like put on like performances for people. And I was just always into the unseen, the unknown. Oh, my mom talks about it still. Like, she would find me. I would go on these little adventures alone. I used to think I was Harriet the Spy, but that's for a different day. But I would walk into these homes. Like, there was one home specifically that nobody lived in. It was vacant. And I said it was haunted. I loved going to that home all by myself and hanging out because I'm weird. I was just such a weird child.
That
and
is
I was
so
always,
cool.
Yeah, I was just always drawn to life, death, the unknown, magic, whatever it is. So yeah, sorry. That was a big answer for your question. But yeah, I remember specifically where I was when I first saw the tarot on TV. And amazing. Then from there, I was introduced to it when I was 16 is when I saw my first deck in person. So yeah.
And was that with a reading or were you like, I'm finally going to get my own cards?
So they were actually gifted to me, my cards at 16, which they say is lucky. They say you should never buy your first deck. I don't believe in any of that. If you're interested in going and getting a deck, go get one.
My first deck was gifted to me too.
Good. So I love that you have a tarot deck. Like, we'll have to get into that too. Because I'm curious, like, what drew you to tarot?
So I similarly, I as a kid, I didn't believe in it again because I grew up very religious, and my family. And, you know, from Cuba coming over, we practiced Santeria, which was a very known, you know, religion. And that mixes Catholicism with, you know, a lot of the African rituals of spirits and all of that stuff. So my family used to believe in that. And then we had, you know, a tragedy in our family. And I don't know really, like, what was the the decision maker, if it was that, if it was just everything they had seen. But then we switched to Christianity, and that all of a sudden became devil work and evil. And so as a kid, I don't think I believed so much in the magic. I think I had big faith, you know, I always had big faith. And then as I got older, I started to, when I was like about 15, The Secret opened up manifestation to me, that opened up the universe to me. And as I got more into it, you know, there's so many different realms of everything. There's tarot, there's human design, there's zodiac, there's all these different avenues within spirituality. Mm-hmm. And the community is so small that you kind of figure it out. So, I just got super into all of it. Crystals, even though I don't know that much about crystals.
Have you realized that it all sort of leads back to one thing? Like if you focus on human design, astrology, tarot, whatever else is out there, it really all leads back to you, and it leads back to something greater than you. Exactly. And you are here living out your purpose and, you know, living out this human experience for the greater good, for something greater. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've seen through all of that, everything you've said, because I've dabbled in it all too. Like once you get your hands on one thing, you're like, what's this? What's this? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You start to, I think when you're a person who likes to find meaning in things, mm-hmm. you start to just look for everything to find meaning in. And, I 100% agree with you. I think that all of this is work that's based on reflections of self. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think, you know, other thought processes don't adopt, that it's all a reflection of what's inside. So anyways, back to you.
I love this.
You were 16 when you got your first deck gifted to you. This was like a very lucky moment for you. The stars aligned. At what point did you start? Like for me, I didn't touch my deck for a long time because mm-hmm. I was so nervous about it. But again, I have that trauma in the back of my head. Did you get into it immediately? When did you do your first reading? All of that stuff.
I think immediately I started playing with the cards. And I would journal about all of my findings. So I have journals for years and years and years. And I love looking back on them and just seeing like what I used to think this card meant versus what it means to me now. It is such a fun and beautiful exercise to do, but yeah, it is so cool. But I remember like diving in really, really quickly. But there were years where I didn't touch it at all. There was maybe like a 5-year span where I really just didn't mess with them because life happens and you start getting into other things.
Right.
But yeah, I was so focused. I remember initially on learning what every card meant. And I was like, okay, like going through the book, cause it comes with a little cute book. And I'm like, what does this mean? And this, and over time I've realized that it doesn't have to be so rigid and that it is so different to every single person. To answer your question, like I dove in really quickly, but yeah, there's times where like, I didn't mess with it at all. And I didn't ever want to force it. Yeah.
How did you, at what point did you start to feel confident in what, cause I have a deck, but like I'll pull something. I'm like, was this really like, was this me?
Yeah. Girl, I am not confident. I am still not confident. That's the one thing that I struggle with and always have is confidence, self-doubt. Am I good enough? And so I know what I'm reading and I could feel it in my entire body. And I'm still like, I don't know. What I do still to this day is I'll journal what I'm seeing and I'll let it play out. Someone will ask me a question. I'm like, oh, I don't actually like do those kinds of readings, but I will channel that energy. I will pull for that
That
person.
is so cool.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I was right, or I'll like tell my husband, like, I think this is what's gonna happen, or this is what I'm seeing. And so he like is my person. I could be like, see, I knew it. So I still don't have it, but over time and time again, I've proven myself, and I have people calling me like, oh my God, Jess, like this happened. But I still like, I'm like, who am I to be doing this and to be sharing this information?
Imposter syndrome is such a bitch.
Yeah.
And I have a mantra that I've been saying to myself lately because everything you're saying is, it just like resonates so much with me. And I have been telling myself, I believe the people who speak good about you. Like just,
I love that.
I don't need to come up with my own opinion on it. Just believe the people that speak good about you, because we are so quick to say something bad about ourselves. We're so quick to believe when someone tells us we're not good enough and apologize for it. And, but it's like there's so many people around us. And if you were to compare the two, you probably have so much more people complimenting you and giving you good feedback than you do having bad feedback. It's all in your head, and your brain is a liar. So you have to believe the people that are telling you the good things, because I'll say, like, I've watched your videos and I'm like, this bitch is spot on. Like, I'm watching that, I'm like, oh my God, So, yes.
And
Anyways,
that's what I
so
do
you
love about being like now on TikTok. We talk about like risking it. That's all about, the show is risking it. And it's like being on TikTok is so scary for me because I know that someone's gonna swipe and be like, look at this bitch. Like, look at her spiky hair from postpartum. No, but like, someone's always got something mean to say. But also, even if I get 5 likes on something, I'm like, there's 5 people that that resonated with, and I don't even know 5 people today that I'll walk by. Does that make sense? Like,
100%.
is a lot. It's a big number. So I know people want thousands of likes, but I'll take the 5. Thank you, because
100%.
I needed that. So thank you guys for liking
Yeah, no,
that
100%.
post.
I saw a video that said something like that, and it showed 20 people in a room. And then it showed 50 people in a room. And then it showed 100 people in a room. And it was like, and you still think 20, 50, 100 likes is little. Like if this was real life, in what other instance would you get 5, 10, 15 people to like your
Absolutely.
stuff?
Absolutely.
So I 100% agree. And that ties perfect also into the whole like believe the people that talk good about you, and those likes, that is them giving you good feedback, So even 5, 3. My thing with that is, I think that a lot of people want to just get there and make it. And don't get me wrong, I do too. But this is so close to my heart. Like the risk it is so close to my heart and my soul, and I know you can probably relate to this because tarot is it's your gift. And so that I don't I almost on one side like don't want it to blow up in that way. I want it to stay small. I want to have those 5 people who just really fuck with me and like really believe in me and are pouring good energy into this to like my content. I don't want to have 300 people, and out of those three, I mean, obviously 300 is not big either, but out of those 300 people, there's 200 haters,
No, and
And
I think, and the thing too is like, you have like the Mel Robbins, the Jay Shetties, the people where it takes time. It took them time. But also not everybody is meant to be that big. So even if I or you, like I'll just relate it back to me, like if I never got to be that big, I'm okay. Like I'm here for whoever wants a piece of me, whoever wants to hear what I have to say. And if that is like, that is what you're saying. If it's 10 people, then I have done my job. Like I was brought here for a reason and I am helping you, and it can get me emotional. Like as long as I am just helping somebody, It doesn't have to be a million people. It could be 300.
I had that thought process also because we get so wrapped up in like the popularity contest. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about the people in my life that I am inspired by that I think are big, and they are big. Mm-hmm. Like some of the people in my life, they have really big positions. They have mm-hmm. companies that are doing crazy things, you know, that I can't believe I even know them, let alone mm-hmm. me, you know? Mm-hmm. And even with all of that, no one else knows them because they're not a Jay Shetty. They're not like,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it doesn't mean that they don't have a whole movement. It doesn't mean that they're not making a big impact. Honestly, half these people don't even have social media like that.
Yeah.
And they still are giving their gift. They're still enjoying their life. And so for me, I was just like, you know what? I don't need everyone to like me, which was so big for me for a long time.
Yeah.
Just the like incessant need to be liked by every single person. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't need everyone to like me. I just need my people to like me. And yeah. in my little bubble of a world.
When did that like click for you?
Honestly, just recently. Just recently. I don't. So, you know, when I was a kid, I was a dreamer. I was much like you. My mom couldn't get me in the house. I was always outside with the dogs and, you know, dreaming. Middle school came, which is where we met. Mm-hmm. And that's when kind of I got more into my personality, but I wasn't. I cared to be liked. I wanted to be cool, even though I wasn't. But
who was?
Huh?
Like who
you
was?
Were? You were one of the cool girls.
I was not.
You
I don't
were. To the to the rest of us, you were in the group. But you were never mean. Like there were mean cool girls that were, they were like that little thing, and they were. I was just yeah. like who do you think you are? You were always the sweet cool girl.
You're so sweet, and I'm very happy to hear that. Because if I was mean, like. I don't even know.
Yeah. I never remember you being mean ever. But I wasn't like a nerd either. I was just normal, you know,
yeah.
I was just crazy and whatever. I got bullied. I bullied back, you know, mm-hmm. Whatever. So then around when I was like 14, 15, my house life got crazy. Like, mm-hmm. You know, everything just went crazy. And I think that's where that incessant need to be like a part of something or wanted or just like not left behind, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. God, I'm gonna cry. I think that's where that came from. And then obviously, you know, I got into a relationship and I got pregnant at 19. And so that need also came from like just wanting to fit into some type of society without feeling like
yeah.
a fuck up.
Yeah.
So recently, this is a really long-winded answer, but we're supposed to be talking about you.
No, like, this is no, it's a conversation. I love it.
Recently, I think after my maybe 30th birthday, that's when I started to really just be like, who am I living for? You know, my 25th birthday was a big one. And then my 30th was even more like, if I don't work on this, I'm never going to be happy. You know, like I can't keep living like this. So I forgot already the question. It was at what point did I stop?
Did you stop caring? Yeah. Did you stop caring about that validation and people pleasing?
So I also, a big part of that was I read a book called, I was already on that journey and you know, when you try to seek answers, the universe will give them to you. God will give mm-hmm. them to you. He'll put it right there in your path. And I read this book called The Courage to Be Disliked.
Mm-hmm.
And that like spoke to me, like the courage to be disliked. And I was like, oh, yeah. Wow, you know, that sounds cool. And that book basically puts into perspective that every single problem that you have is related to someone else. There's not
Absolutely.
One problem you have that's related to yourself. And I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know. And so it puts it into perspective of like examples, you know, like if you were the only person on the planet that ever existed, you wouldn't even know what loneliness is. You wouldn't mm-hmm. even know, like this would just, you wouldn't care to die because you have no one to live for, you know, like mm-hmm. it would just be be whatever. So that really put it into perspective that I was like, oh, so what does Christy want?
Yeah. I don't know. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. So yeah.
Back need to read that book. Tarot.
Okay. It's a great book.
But also, this is what I do. So, you know, for the listeners, like this is what my tarot practice is all about. Like I have the cards and they are the language and I will translate what they're saying. But every session I go into is a conversation and the client is just as much part of that, of the experience of the conversation. So yeah. So keep talking because I, this is also just a healing journey for you. Like this is your show.
I wasn't expecting to talk about me so soon.
But I absolutely love that. So let's keep it going.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I love this. I love how good of a conversationalist you are because it's really hard to have conversations sometimes with people who aren't interested back and forth. And I mean, so love. So you got the tarot cards at 16, you dabbled in them, you practiced, you went about life, you tucked them away in your drawer, dusted them off, brought them back out. At what point did it become a little bit more serious to you that you started to get a notion that you wanted to open a business and provide this as a service? And like, how was Talkin' Tarot born?
Okay. So that's a two-part question. I will answer the first one of like, when did it become like such a big part, a bigger part of my life? I mean, that's not an act, but what you asked, but
yeah,
when it kind started. Of. Yeah. Like, yeah. So, basically, okay. So, like let me prepare myself to get vulnerable because I'm not used to being on this side. This is why I love listening to you because I'm like, yeah, like I'm so used to hearing other people speak. I'm like over here undressing, getting hot. I was 18 and I was in an extremely abusive relationship. It was
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. I have to get used to not saying it's okay because it's not okay. So thank you. But yeah, it was just like physical, sexual, mental, emotional, just really, really toxic, really bad. And so I wasn't like actively practicing. I was in college, probably drinking way too much, numbing out the pain, having a good time. Mm-hmm. And, I remember it was interesting because I got a reading by somebody random. I wasn't even seeking it out. Like somebody randomly had a tarot on them at a party and wanted to have a conversation with me. So had the conversation. And what was crazy is I was actively in this relationship around people who were seeing the abuse happen and nobody said a thing. Like it was so normalized and people by them not speaking up, it was I in my mind I was like, oh okay, like they're not saying anything, so this has to be normal or this is has to be something that I deserve or whatever was going through my mind at the time, like right. I was in it. But then I meet this person and she's telling me what I'm experiencing, what I'm feeling, and what can happen if I don't get out of it. And it was such an intense experience for me, such an emotional experience for me, because this complete stranger is telling me all the things that I think I needed to hear that I didn't realize I needed to hear. Like in my body, I knew something was wrong. I was scared. I was hypervigilant. Just all the negative things were running through my body, but my mind wasn't caught up. And I just didn't logically understand what I was feeling. And so for her to tell me all of this, it was just, I felt so seen. And I think in that moment, I stayed in the relationship. It took me some time, but I'll never forget that moment. And it was then when I realized like It wasn't just a deck of cards. It was like that reading was a reflection of what I was so scared to face. And it was a mirror, it was a guide, and honestly, it was a lifeline for me. I'm gonna get emotional. So
You've given me chills
and
like 4 times. I'm on the verge of tears.
I don't even get emotional like speaking about like that relationship because I lived it. I've survived. I'm good. But just like to for someone to look at you and to use like a tool like the tarot, when like you've said in the beginning, like people, there's this huge misconception of like it being so evil. And I mean, what is evil? People are negative. Social media is negative. There's negative energy everywhere. So it's all about how you use the tool. And so this person, this angel of a human being came up to me and shared something with me about myself. And I needed her. I needed that. I needed that tool.
in that moment, though, now looking back, that was so profound. But in that moment, at that party, being what, 18, 19, 20, 21, very, very young, what was your reaction in that moment? Did you appreciate it in that moment, or were you just like, you're weird? Like, what,
No.
did it take
Oh,
time?
no. I was freaked out. And when I say, like, I felt so seen and so validated because I was looking for somebody to tell me that my experience was true, that it wasn't me, that I wasn't imagining this pain. Like, which is so crazy to think about right now. I'm 30. Oh, Jesus. Am I 35 or 36? Who knows? I am 30 something. And I mean, to think about at 18, 19, getting hit across the face, sorry, I know this is triggering for, but like
It's okay.
to think that you're in that moment and be like, oh, like, did I deserve that? Like, it's so crazy to be in this body right now and to be, do you know what I mean? Like,
I know exactly what you mean because I was also in a very abusive relationship, and I also used to get hit in the face and punched in the face and thrown down to the ground and kicked. And I'm gonna have to put a trigger warning on this later. But I know exactly what you're talking about because you make so many excuses and you feel like it's normal and it's not, and everyone around you knows that it's happening. And whether, in my case, there were people around me that were like, what the fuck, but there was also people that were like, be careful. It wasn't like a huge deal.
Which is insane. And even now, if the people that know me today, I am very, I'm not afraid to say what I think. If something is happening in front of me that I think is wrong, I'm going to say, hi, that is wrong. Hi, that is not normal. And I do it because I don't care if it's physical abuse, but so many people even minimize like the emotional manipulation abuse that we all experience right now, the bullying, and I have zero tolerance for that shit. And I want
No,
people to
please
know,
be yourself. Speak however you need.
I just want people to know that it's not okay. And so that is, I think, what makes me so different too, is when you are seeing me as a client, like you are my friend and I care about you immediately. The moment you step in front of me, like you are my person and I'm gonna take care of you. And not that it's my job, I'm gonna help you see your worth. I'm gonna help you find your light, your voice, and you're gonna walk out with confidence, with clarity, and you are going to. I'm going to get emotional again, but you are just going to be your authentic, true self. And like, you're going to know it. And I'm going to be that person to help you because I needed that. And that woman, I don't know her name. I wish I did.
Did you ever see her again?
No. And I don't even want to say woman because she was like I mean, a woman, we're all women, but like, she was
Yeah,
not like this.
she was a young lady.
Yeah, she's not like this like tarot reader and like crazy like fortune teller like walking into a party that she didn't belong. Like she was just, who knows? She was an angel sent to me.
That is crazy. That is crazy, and that is beautiful. And I will say that I have my plant in a planter. Show me my camera. I resonated also so much with you saying that this was something that you just needed to hear and that you were waiting for someone to tell you. Mm-hmm. And I will say, like, with my experience with tarot, my first reading came from, like, me actually booking a reading and going through with it, came from, like, I knew something was wrong. I knew I needed to make a decision. I knew I needed to move. I knew, I, like, just your body knows. And my brain just, I didn't have the trust in myself, and I probably still don't, but like to just act on what I know, you know, mm-hmm. the knowing that comes inside of you of the next move you're supposed to make, of when to let something go, when to go after it. It was so scary for me mm-hmm. for so long. And even till now, like literally Risk It is what has made me more confident. Cause I'm like, my name is fucking Risk It, you know, but yeah. I am still,
which is so cool.
So cool. Love. Thank you.
Yeah.
I am still such a scaredy cat to trust myself, and I needed something else. I needed someone else who truly, truly knew me inside to give me the best advice. And I knew that that was God, the universe, my spirit guides, whatever is out there. Mm-hmm. I knew that they were the ones that needed to tell me. And so, you know, having played with tarot, having been in this world for long enough, again, this was only a couple years ago when I had my first reading. That's when I was like, okay, I'm going to book the session. And it was on point. Like, it was so telling. Mm-hmm. It was such a eye opener of like, this is basically the cards telling you what you need to hear at that mm-hmm. moment. And for you to be able to be a vessel of that and to be, you know, like just be able to have that move through you, what a gift. Like that's like such a great spot to be in.
I appreciate it. Yeah. No pressure. Right. and I feel like anyone could do it. I think it really just, you have to be open to receiving the messages. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like, so see, I'm like, oh, I'm nothing special. It's just, I'm just interested and I just read what I'm saying. I feel like anyone can do it, but yeah, it's something I love and I'm just really passionate about. And I'm wondering when you had that reading, I'm wondering like cause I know a lot of people, like there is that fortune telling piece, like, oh, here's your future. This is what to expect. And for me, I don't really believe in that. Like I believe that you walk into a room with a certain energy level and the reader is going, if they are like an intuitive healer and feeler, then they're going to read that energy and they're going to pick up on that during the reading. Mm-hmm. So your future today, this is what I'm seeing.
Right.
And your energy today, this is what the outcome could potentially be. Fortune telling is so fixed, like it's a fixed outcome, but the future is so fluid. And I truly believe that when you enter this body, you are under contract. Your soul has this contract and you are here to live that out. And there's a lesson. How you get there, when you get there, are you going to get there? That is completely up to you mm-hmm. and your human experience. And so there's right, left, straight, back. I don't know what you're going to take. You don't, only you do. But like my goal in the session, where are you at? Here's the potential outcome. Do you like it? No, let's talk about it. What can you do differently? And we'll dive deep into all the crazy things. Or do you like it? Is this the outcome you're looking for? Okay, what's working? What's good in your life right now? How do we stay on this? How do we keep up this momentum? So yeah, right. That's a little.
So you answered some of the questions that I have for you, but I want to take it back and just so go back to like the talking tarot part. That moment.
Oh yeah, I didn't even answer that. The second part. Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. The conversation is great, but okay. There's questions that like I'm like, okay, I want to know.
Yeah. No. So okay. So the talking tarot. I want to say it was a few years ago. I have been through so many crazy things in my life. I have like this common theme. And I know like I'm not an astrologer and I don't, but like if I were to look at my chart, like my fourth house is heavy packed, which is like relationships and home life, home dynamics. And I, ever since I was little, and I won't get deep, I've been through some crazy trauma. I have a mother wound. I have a father wound. I have I've had really terrible friendships. I don't know if you remember in middle school, because who remembers middle school, but like I was bullied. You said you were bullied. You had your own shit you were going through.
I never remember you being bullied. Really? What could they bully you on?
Oh my God. Well, my boyfriend at the time was just like the hot, you know, everybody wanted my boyfriend, and because I don't even remember,
but whatever, we don't have to mention his name.
Good. Yeah. No, but I well, also, like, I was always somebody who never went with the crowd. I wasn't a people pleaser. I always said what I felt, meant what I said, and it was probably a little bit bitchier back in the day. Like, you have no filter when you're younger, but
middle school me was fucking, she was
which is crazy. Like, I'm just like, because I have no fire in my chart, and I keep going back to astrology, but I'm just like, where did the sass come from, Jess? Like, who are you? But no, I just never cared, and people fucking hated that. Like, I was bullied because I didn't follow Queen Bee of this, and I didn't, I just wasn't a follower, and I wasn't a leader. I did my own thing. If you wanted to come, cool. If not, great. If you didn't invite me, peace, don't care. Like, I just never cared. And that pissed people off. I don't know why, but people don't like that.
Well, because people like to control you, especially, you know, especially the little ones, you know, between that age, if you are different, then there's a problem with you, you know? Yeah. And so people are threatened by you.
So yeah, I've been through a shit ton of things, relationships. That is like the pattern in my life. So many lessons. There, you know, my husband and I have dealt with a lot of like family stuff ourselves, and there's been some trauma, even not with him, but in regards to like our relationship with the people around us. Mm-hmm. And I think there was something that happened specifically a few years ago that really opened my eyes, and it was so painful for me. But it was, I always look at it now as like there's opportunity in the challenges. And so I'm so thankful that it happened. There's no like, I'm not mad, I'm okay. But it was like, and I went to my tarot, I relied on my tarot, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna start helping people. Like, it actually pushed me to wanna start helping people. And then in that moment, it was like 3 years ago, it was like talk in tarot. Like, I'm going to be, it's because it's not just tarot. It's like I said, a conversation. So it's therapy. It's therapeutic. It's talking tarot. And that is how I came up with it.
I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. It's so catchy. And just the description that you had, like how freaking perfect, you know, it's like these serendipitous moments that just like, it's one little egg after another that brings upon, and you don't realize it through the journey, you know, and we still have like so much more journey to go. But I think we're at a point now that we've had like 3 decades behind us that we can kind of evaluate the three and be like, oh my God, that led to this. Cause it takes time, you know? And then all of a sudden, like for me, the name like Risk It was like an immediate download. Like that was just like the sky's opening. It was a huge epiphany. I don't know if Talking Tarot was like that for you, but that name pulling it all together and just being like, oh, it has life now, you know? It's a real thing now.
And it's when it like clicks for you that easily, it is so true. It is just meant to exist. And so it's like the best feeling when that happens. You're like, holy shit, like this is it. And like, how long have you had your name for your whole fucking life? And then all of a sudden you're like, risk it, Christy. Like, this is my brand.
This is my brand.
It's my name.
This is what I'm meant here to do. And what's funny is that, so a few years ago, I went through this whole existential crisis on like if I died, right? So, death has always been like a common theme in my family. Everyone talks about death. A lot of people have died, so it's always like there in your face. But I got like bad medical news, and I went through that whole like, holy crap, what if I passed? Like, what if I wasn't here? And what would that mean? And the only thing I was worried about was my daughters, obviously. And like, I know they'll be taken care of. I have things in place to know that financially they'll be taken care of. I trust the people around me to, take care of them, but no one else has my mentality. No one else has my lessons and my, teachings that I am meant to teach them. That's when I started. So I started videoing myself, talking to them, like, I just always want you to know this, and I just always want you to know that. Like, I was just, death was staring me in the face. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, like, what if I started a podcast? Because I've always been a talker, always got in trouble for talking. And I named it Letters to My Daughters. And
I
it's,
love that.
it's my lessons. That's not just for my daughters, it's all the girls. Like, I don't want any girl to ever live the relationship that me and you went through. I don't want any, I like I don't want anyone to ever feel that, like, that lack to allow themselves to not accept what they truly deserve, and how to show up that way. But then I was like, oh, I don't know, because I'm gonna, if I'm gonna talk, I want to talk about things that I can just say whatever dumb shit I want or controversial shit that maybe I don't want my daughters to listen to 100%.
Yes,
Well,
you
yeah,
do.
later in life. But
Later.
anyways, that whole idea took its time to become an entity, and it was like tying in so many lessons that risk it just like it was just what it was. And again, I'm talking about myself. So
No, this is perfect. I love it. And your followers, your people want to hear more about you. Like, this is what
I know, but I
happens
could do
over
that in
time.
solo interviews. I want to talk about you because I want my questions answered. Like, I'm
You'll have
so
to invite me
interested in
back.
you.
We'll have to do another sesh.
It's gonna happen. We're already at 46 minutes. Okay, so it was born. Okay, so I'm gonna get into some of the questions because we have a lot of questions, and they're all really good questions
Oh my gosh.
that people put into my question box.
Okay.
So the first question is, as a person who lets the universe guide her, how do I know that the signs that I get are right signs? What if it's just me thinking about it all the time so it continuously appears? And I guess with tarot specifically, tarot can be used as signs, as communication. How do they know if they're right or if it's just them creating that?
Well, because so that's a common thought, right? Is like, I don't even know what it's called. Is it like the blue car theory? So I'm gonna think about the blue car or whatever, the pink
Oh
car. I don't
yeah,
know
blue
what it
card,
is.
yes.
And then I'm gonna see that blue pink car because it's on your mind, right? So you don't know, is it a sign or is it just because it's on the top of your mind? So in the question they said, or is it because I'm thinking about it or whatever it said? That's the problem. Stop thinking. You need to get out of your head. And trust me, I know this. I overanalyze and overthink absolutely everything. And trusting my body has been a huge challenge for me. You need to listen to your body. Like, that is key. So how do you do that? Learn to sit with yourself in silence and meditate. Like, you can do guided meditations. What I do is I will listen to just like humming. If I just put on like 4 hertz or 8 hertz or whatever it is, and I will listen to just like buzzing, and I scan my body, and over time I've just learned to trust. Like, and it's not because like I have this doing air quotes, this gift. Like, we are all, oh, celebration.
Maybe you do.
Maybe. But, like, it's like, yeah, girl. But, no, it's because, like, everybody is energy. So when you know, I want to just, like, who's this person? I mean, like, you know, when you walk into a room, you know if you're comfortable or if you're uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. That is the same thing. So learn to trust your body. And so the signs that you get, your body will tell you it was a sign. So it's sometimes hard to articulate because it really is just like, I'll get like sensations. I get buzzing in my ear. My stomach will do certain things. So it just, you have to learn to, how is your body communicating with you?
I 100% love that. I love that so much. So, so you get buzzing, mm-hmm. you get stomach, like what are different signs that you actually, get that you're like, okay, like for me, my palms will get itchy. And if mm-hmm. my left palm is itchy, they say that, you know, this is what they say is that when your right palm is itchy, you're getting money. And when your left palm is itchy, money's leaving. Huh. But that has happened to me in instances, and that I have realized that when my right palm is itchy, it's a good idea. Like it's a positive. Yeah. And when my left palm is itchy, that maybe I need to rethink this.
Yeah.
And so for me, those are signs that my body gives me in moments. And then just realizing where a feeling lays. If a feeling is in my belly, mm-hmm. then I need to think about it differently than when the feeling's in my chest. So like relating to fear, I'm like the biggest scaredy cat. So mm-hmm. if I walk into a room or if I get an idea or an opportunity and I'm feeling this tension in my chest, mm-hmm. to me, normally that means that I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. And the fear means that I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And if I feel it in my belly, it's usually more like deep, and I'll usually be like, okay, maybe this is something I need to rethink. Uh-huh. So what are other specific, you know, communications that your body gives you? Because maybe, you know, people aren't realizing these things.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because for everybody, it's different. And I will say too, anxiety is so real and fear is so real. So also you have to remember anxiety will scream at you. So if like you're walking and you just like are feeling like this intense feeling, that is anxiety, because intuition is like a whisper. It's like literally the angel on your shoulder, like a little something. And so you have to be, it's not going to scream at you. So just that is how you will differentiate anxiety versus intuition. For me, it's really weird. I have like this tingle on my left shoulder. Ooh. That runs down my back. And that is like, good. This is good. This is
that's
right.
That's the angel on your shoulder doing
maybe,
like a happy
thing. Yeah. And it like runs down and it's so weird. But I also will get this buzzing when something bad, not bad, is going to happen, but more not bad. It's like a lesson. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. It's like, pay attention to what's happening right now because you need to learn from this. So for me, it's different.
Zoom in right now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a buzzing and then like the tingle, the shoulder thing happens to me more than ever. But yeah, I feel naturally like when I enter a room or when I'm talking to somebody, I've had to learn to cut the cord of like, that's their energy and this is my energy, because I will easily like pick up whatever it is that person is carrying. So I've had to learn to like cut it completely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I have not learned how to do that. I don't. Okay. What is your star sign and rising sign?
My star sign is Libra. I'm trying to think. My
love Libras. No wonder.
We're all about balance and harmony, relationships. No, but thank you. But they should. Libras. Yeah. They're all, you know, what's funny is like, you look like a Leo. It's so funny. Like the physical traits of a Leo. Yeah. So I was not surprised to hear that you were Leo. Like you have like, cause they have like the dark, full, beautiful hair.
And yeah,
the mane. It's just like, it's like this exotic, it's like, to me, it's like Cleopatra in a way. Like you are the sun. You are the center. Yeah, so like you really have the Leo vibe.
Thank you.
But yeah, so I am Libra sun in the what's my house? In the fourth house. And then I am, my rising is Gemini. I'm Gemini rising.
Oh,
Rising's
that's
always in the
fun,
first
Meg.
house. Yeah, and then my moon is Virgo in the third
Ooh.
house. Yeah, so I'm air, earth, air. I'm a
I
fire.
Libra makes sense, but my first, I was gonna say Virgo. Like that's what I picked
For
up on.
me?
Yes,
Yeah.
but Libra makes total sense too. I love Libras. Okay,
Because
how do you?
your rising is Scorpio.
I have no idea. You
It
know more
is.
than me. I didn't
Yeah.
even look at my chart. I was like, I'm gonna send it to her.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of crazy because that means I'm just all crazy.
No, it's
Leo and
beautiful.
Scorpio?
What's so here's okay. When so listeners, Christy sent me her chart. I have not like had a chance to digest it because that thing, it's like 25 pages and it's a lot of information. So I just looked at your big three and then I always look at your dominant trait. I want to know like what dominates your chart. You are half and half, like you have one fire, which is the Leo, your personality, but everything else. You had like a good mix of water, air, and earth, but you are heavy earth and water. So it's really interesting. So that'll kind of like switch your view. I don't like know you the way you know yourself. So I don't know if that makes
Let me
sense
know
a little bit,
more.
but like, but well, your fire, the Leo that you have is your identity, your ego, your the core essence, and that is who you are. So you have that Leo sun in the 10th house, which is career, and you know, so your personality, your core essence is tied to your public image, essentially. So like but does that make sense to you? Like does
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like
yeah.
there is nothing that I read when it comes to astrology, and I don't know if you know about human design.
Yeah.
Okay, human design was huge for me. Like when I learned that, I was like, "Oh my God, I am who I'm supposed to be." Like it
Yeah.
was just like I don't have to try to be someone else anymore.
What
But
are
with this,
you? Manifestor,
I'm a projector.
generator? Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't know much about human design,
I
but
know
I've never
Scorpio.
met a projector. And so now I need to
Hi,
look
what are
into
you?
this more. I think I am a generator.
Okay, well,
Yeah.
perfect, because generators need projectors and projectors need generators, so that's perfect.
Balance. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a projector. There is nothing that I don't read that I'm like, this is so true. Like, it's so, I
Yeah.
100% care about my public image, which is why I think I have that people pleasing thing because I just want to be liked. Which I read for Leos is a very big thing because since we're leaders, we want to make sure that the people that we lead know that we're good leaders. And so it's very heavy on us, our perception outward, and what that means. So, but anyways,
What's
that's so exciting.
interesting though is like you have Capricorn moon, and that is so opposite of Leo. So your emotions, like you are grounded and stable and ambitious, and just there's this sense of like responsibility to it. But like, so on your emotional side, usually a Leo is like blah, 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 fire, like going crazy. And is not afraid to say what they are feeling, but emotionally, you're actually a little bit more reserved according to your chart. So, like, you'll
No,
look
I'm quiet.
back, yeah, and what you say is controlled. Like, you are very controlled and thoughtful about what you share emotionally. And then Scorpios are the same way. So, even having a Scorpio rising is very interesting because you can come off as mysterious, and people either like you or they don't because they don't know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, but it's a very intuitive sign. So that's where like your intuition comes in too.
Oh,
So you are like a beautiful balance, like your big
thank you.
three. Yeah, it's so cool. But I
Thank
don't know
you.
anything about astrology. So this is what I told. I'm like,
You know everything about astrology. You're literally telling me all about myself.
just a little. But so when people get into like the trine, this and opposing that, I'm like, okay, one day
Yeah,
I'll get
you'll get
there.
there. You'll get there.
But
I
okay.
tried to get into astrology, but it is a whole nother
It's
language, and
intimidating.
it's very intricate. But
Yeah.
I had no idea that was my big three. Thank you. And
You're
again,
welcome.
we got to get back to you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know how. I just don't.
You said your big three are Libra,
So Libra Sun, Virgo Moon, Gemini
Virgo,
Rising.
Gemini. Okay, perfect. All right. So, how do you prepare for a reading?
For a reading. So I clear my space, I clear my mind, I set my intention, I do some grounding. I always meditate. I have to meditate, just again, clear my mind, get ready for what I'm about to enter. And then when I meet the client, like I said, it's more of a conversation. So I want to know like what's their focus, what's the goal that they want to achieve in this reading. But I always make sure that they are energetically available. I have had readings where people are not, and not because they, I've read people that are like, you're not a reader, and so they're not open. And then some people just naturally aren't open. So I have to make sure to tell, and like all the cards will be reversed, or it'll just be chaos.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure that they're
Like
open to be.
they're very skittish. Like not that
Yes.
they don't believe, but they're just nervous to be seen or whatever.
Vulner yeah, to be vulnerable or whatever it is. So I'm like, please, like just be open and trust the experience. And yeah, and then we kind of just get to going. We do it together. But that's what I do.
How long does that usually take you? Like before you book a meeting, how long are you in that prep realm?
Oh, well, I like it doesn't take long. I mean, it could be 10 minutes before I'm meeting with somebody and do all of that. But I also meditate in the morning, I journal in the morning, I set my intention. I mean, as long as I can be with the person and I can surround myself with light and the person with light, like we can go in and dive right in.
Okay.
I've
So you
literally been at a bar and done it with people.
I'm
So
sure you are better at the bar because you're drinking
honestly,
and you're just like
yeah. I'm like, here it is, guys. Like, this is it. But yeah, it's fun. I love taking out my deck and people are like, what is that? So
much
it's a
fun. So much fun.
yeah.
Okay, so what's the most, but wait, something did come up when you said that. I just want to highlight that you treat it as a discipline. Like your energy is a discipline to clear out your energy every morning, to have your headspace, to have your light. That is something that I think that is so special about you. And also, you say everyone else can do this work, and obviously, people probably can do this work. Nothing anyone does is in particularly special. It's the discipline behind what you do, and obviously the energy and the passion. But there's no way that you could, hold meetings all day, have a reading, and not have the day of husband, wife, homemaker, professional, all of these things seep into your readings unless you are diligent about your space and tuning into your body. And so I think that's something that's really important, that we just throw ourselves into the day and we don't take the time to honor ourselves and to get to know ourselves. And so kudos to you.
Thank you. I
You're welcome.
appreciate it. I think,
I love
but
that you
I
said.
was one thing too, even being a new mom, I'm 1 year postpartum, is that was a struggle for me. It was like trying to find myself again and taking the time, carving out the time without having guilt, to be able to give myself the space to just like be silent with myself so I can. A lot of people don't like being silent. I could be in a room all day by myself and it is just heaven for me. But yeah, so it took me some time to get back there, but I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
No, of course, of course. Okay, so what is the most common misconception people have about tarot?
That it's evil. That's the most common thing. And that it's, I mean, it is, it's interesting because you mentioned there is a religious and spiritual aspect to tarot in the symbolism in the cards. If somebody was curious enough to just not say, oh, it's evil. It's it. If they really wanted to understand the card or the cards, learn the history of it. And then also look at the symbolism in the cards because there is so much Catholicism and Jewish Kabbalah, paganism.
Oh,
There's
wow.
Egyptian symbols. Like it is all over these cards. And so some people say that, like, different people from different religions like went into a cave and like created these cards together. That's just a man, who
I
knows, right?
love that though. I'm gonna believe in
Yeah.
that just because it's
Yeah,
fun.
it's like they went together and they're just like, "Oh, let's this is for the people." Because at the end of the day, I told you there's one common like we're all here living this life, right? For like under the creator. And yeah, so we talked about that earlier, but at the end of the day, what we should all believe in is just being good people, you know? So I do want to believe that everybody just got into a room and agreed to have these cards and it to be a message or like, right, to just
A
communicate
100%.
love. So yeah, misconception is that it is bad and evil when I think there was a lot of intention when creating these cards, and I think it's meant to, it's just a beautiful tool. For people to heal.
I agree. And another thing that, like, just you saying that, it reminds me of money. I'm a financial planner, and there are so many times that I hear people say that money is evil, and money is this, and money is that. And it's money is not evil. Money is a tool of the person that's holding it. You know, it is a neutral object. If someone that is a good-hearted person has money, guess what? Everyone is in a good space. If there's someone that has a bad heart that has money, then guess what? There's going to be bad done. And it's not like money turns you bad or turns you good. It is neutral. It will only uncover what is already inside of you. And so if you are someone who is spending because you feel out of lack, because you feel like you have to please everyone, and you know, with the Gucci hat and the whatever, that's gonna be a reflection on the outside. So, anyways, tarot reminded me a lot about
Yeah,
that.
no,
It's a
agree.
neutral thing.
Yeah,
And I love that they
absolutely.
have all of these different things. My cards are anime cards, so
Okay.
the meaning, all like everything had, which I'm not into anime, but they were so pretty, and my
Yeah,
girlfriend
you're
got them.
drawn to them.
Well, they're a gift, but they're
Oh,
so
yeah.
pretty. And it ties in like the, I guess like the main characters in anime into the card. So there's so many different kinds of like symbolism that you can go from, you know? Anyways. So how do you handle skeptical clients or people who don't believe in tarot?
I don't. I don't pay them any attention. I doubt somebody's going to reach out to me and say, I really want a reading, but I believe all of this is bullshit. Like, you have to prove me wrong. You're not my client. You're not my person. I don't care. And I don't need to prove anything to you. Like, you're going to come and sit in front of me because you want to heal and you want to grow. And so that is the intent. But I'm not going to waste my time and energy around negative bullshit people. Sorry. That's my
I love that answer so much because fuck everybody who do what I do. No,
And
like it's so true. Like it's almost like, so what, how do you feel about what people, there was a conversation with Mike Tyson and they were like, they asked him something about how he feels when people think about him and this, like, he's like, I don't think, fuck you, motherfucker. Like I have nothing to explain to you. I have nothing to say to you. I love that.
And I will say, like, I live in an area, it's very old school. There's not, no one's running around here doing tarot, like, you know, or even anything spiritual for that matter. And even I have family members who, I mean, I grew up in a very Catholic home. But, and so my dad, I'm sure my dad is like, what is this? But he's so supportive. And, but I'm not going to sit there and be like, Dad, you're going to get a reading right now. Like, I respect his beliefs, he respects mine. And so yeah, I'm not going to push it on anybody. And I don't want anyone coming at me with their negativity. So,
Yeah, I love that. get on the train or get on
Get
whatever train
off.
you like, but yeah. We don't have time for it here. So how has tarot influenced your personal growth and self-awareness?
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. I feel like it has been so healing for me. And I feel like, wait, repeat the question. I'm so sorry.
How has tarot influenced your personal growth and your self-awareness?
Okay. So tarot for me, it basically made me face the hard truths about myself, and it showed me the toxic traits that I have as a human being, or that I have had. But it also taught me, and I said this before, that there's opportunity in a challenge. It also taught me how to celebrate myself and my wins. But honestly, like, tarot has just taught me how to be accountable, how to be accountable for my life. I used to take everything so personally, like, why me? Why is everybody so mean to Jess? And it's like, Jess, this is your fault. Like, this is your responsibility. And also, you're mean too, you know, but like, you know, so it's just, it makes me sit back and like, what was in every relationship, it's 50-50 or whatever, but you are part of that. And so what are you attracting? What are you maintaining? What are you allowing? And stop. And so it's really just helped me take responsibility and accountability for my life.
I love that. I love that so much. I could literally talk about this all day. You're totally coming back.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. Was there a pivotal shift from it being just a curiosity to a transformative tool in your life? So that one we talked about, sitting in that party, waiting for someone to just
tell me the truth.
Yeah. Tell you this is fucked up, get out. And you being like, okay, perfect. What is the process when approaching a reading, both for yourself and for your clients?
We touched on this too. I think, it's just setting that intention, mentally preparing and walking in, and both parties just being open to the experience.
This one's cool. If your tarot deck could talk, what would it say about you?
It would say, what the fuck? I'm just kidding. It like,
it, what the fuck, bitch?
Yeah. Like, what is your life? No, I think if it was talking to me, it would say that I'm proud of you. Aww. That's what I think it would say to me. If it was talking to someone else about me, I think it would say like that I, you know, I listen with my heart. I, you know, am very intentional about what I say and how I communicate. And I dive deep. I'm not afraid to get uncomfortable in conversation. And I myself have been through the dark and come out shining. And so Jess is here to help you find your light. That's what I think it would say.
I love that so much. How do you differentiate between using tarot for self-discovery versus fortune telling? I think we kind of went through that too.
Yeah, we walked through that a bit.
Okay, this is a great question. Do you get nervous answering pregnancy or death or super intimate hard questions?
Yes. And my friends come to me all the time and I have to tell them. And this is what I was talking about earlier. Like, I'll tell some people no, but then I will pull the cards myself and I know the answer. And I'll write those down. And sometimes I do the spread and the reading and some things come up. This is why I just don't like doing it, because we talked about like fortune telling being so just like fixed. Mm-hmm. And in those questions, they can be, depending on how you're asking that question. And at the end of the day, like, I'm not God. I am a human being reading the cards based on the energy of the day, of today. Mm-hmm. And I would never want to be the one to communicate something that is not meant for me to communicate. So I don't even like putting that energy in my cards. I will do it sometimes, but it's really so nervous is not even the right word. It's just, I'm just careful, like cautious.
I heard this about tarot, and I think this is a really good description of that because people are probably listening to you and the skeptical people and being like, well, you're just reading my energy for the day, so what is the point of it? Like they think all of these things are meant to tell you exactly what it is. And like you've said time and time again, it's just a tool for self-reflection on a grander scale. It's not it there are things in your life, and going back to the soul contract, like there are things in your life, if you believe in soul contracts, that they're big events that may come up. But we whether you're Christian, whether you believe in soul contracts in the universe, whether we have choice. We have choice here. We were given human choice. And so that choice, depending on what choices you take, are going to differentiate the different paths that come up. And I have heard that too, that like some media, not medium, some readers or intuitive healers will tell you one fixed thing. And I love so much that you don't, because you realize that there's alternate realities. There's different things that can possibly come up based on your choice. And I love that you give your friends and your clients that respect of just like, this is what's coming up. This is how you can handle it if you don't like that scenario. And at a very, very practical level, like let's say you don't believe in magic and you don't believe in the woo-woo and all of that stuff, and you're just like a very hard-lined person. If you pick up a card and the card tells you that you're going through a hard time right now, you need to make a decision about this, 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 and that, like at very least, it's giving you a moment of reflection, of self-reflection that even if you don't believe,
So,
that's huge.
Christy, a lot of people don't like that. A lot of, it's funny, a lot of people, most people want control, but a lot of people don't take control of their lives. It is completely up to you. But the moment what you're going to sit in front of somebody who's telling you what you need to do, you don't want that. Like it's so, isn't that interesting? It's
It is
such a
very
crazy
interesting.
thing.
It's almost like it's therapy. It is a different kind of therapy because, again, like you pick up that card, you get that self-reflection, and then you have someone in the seat in front of you who is wise, who analyzes these different situations that has been able to gain lessons from it, that can pinpoint three, four, five, six different cards and say, okay, this is what is happening, and then bring it back to you. And you're 100% right. People probably don't like that. They don't want to be confronted with that. But that's, what we need sometimes to live,
Exactly.
to
And
finally
also,
live.
like, I do want to give credit to there are people out there who are psychics, who are mediums, who have that clairvoyancy, and intuitive healing and feeling is like it is sort of like that clairsentience in a way, like you have that knowing. Especially if you practice it well, but I'm not going to pretend to sit there and know like 5 years from now, I totally see this. I am not psychic. I am not clairvoyant. I've had my dreams and I can, it's somewhere in me that I should, one day hopefully fine tune, but I am not that person. There are people that do that. Go find that person. And I truly I believe it 100%. I am just not that person. I am a translator and I am a feeler and I can pull some really crazy shit out of my ass and you're like, what the hell? But yeah, do you know it's there's a
I know what
difference.
you're saying, and I will fight you on you're not that person. I think that like everything, it's a discipline, right? And there's levels to this shit. I like literally say that to everything because there is. And you're doing the cards now, and you have this open channel. Obviously, you have to be an open channel of reflection to be able to do the cards. And as you ease into that open channel, and as you realize the signs, and as you keep going into that practice, that is going to expand. You know, like you said, you have your dreams already. You have things that are already starting to make sense. You may just not realize and put the pieces together yet because you're not there on like on that kind of level. But in 3 years, 5 years, you may be there.
Oh, for sure.
I do also believe that there are people that just have that channel, like that gift. They never, it comes rushing to them.
Yeah.
You know, there's shamans, there's so many different people that, yes, 100%. But I do believe that, I don't know, maybe I'm just.
No, I love you for saying that. I know I am gifted. And what's, and I don't, when I meet somebody and they don't think or feel or communicate the way I do, I'm like, oh, wait, because I think my, what I'm feeling and thinking and knowing is so normal. And I'm like, and then sometimes I have to meet people. I'm like, oh, it's not. Okay, so this is special. Like, I am special. But I mean, I hate saying that, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm
you
like,
are.
Okay, like this knowing is something that not everybody has. But yeah, sometimes,
and
you like you
are,
said, there's
you
levels.
You are 100% special. And that's not to say that like no one else can do this work. We are all special. Like we all have our thing that we are gifted at, and we just don't realize it because the gifts of society are you're a great piano player, you're a great basketball player, you're a great artist, you're great. Like there, it's always like one specific thing, but there are other gifts that people own too, that this is like, this is your way of seeing into people's lives, of helping people. And there can be another, you know, tarot card reader right next to you, and both of you will have your unique ways, and both of you will be able to tap into different things. And so you're very special. Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. So last question from our followers is, what is your favorite zodiac sign and why?
I don't. That is a great question. I don't know if I have a favorite zodiac sign, because I do feel like all of them are so special and bring something different to the table. So it's, and especially because I don't know I know the zodiac signs that I'm familiar with. I can tell you my favorite tarot card.
Okay, what is your favorite tarot? Ah, I'm so excited for this. What's your favorite card?
I mean, well, I would say the Hierophant is my favorite. When I see her pop out, it is just, it means that my guides are on my side. It is a spiritual message. And it's homegirl telling me that like, she's there and to trust my intuition. And so like, I just get like this yes answer, like girl, trust yourself. And so I love when she pops out, that is my favorite tarot.
I love that. That is not a card that I know. So that's exciting. I'm going to watch out for that. My favorite card is the Fool. And
I love that.
I love the Fool.
Why is that your favorite card?
I get her all the time. And when I pull, and I love her because I have always wanted to be a person who flows, who just allows God and the universe to flow within them. I want to feel deeply. I want to be elated. I want to jump into the next thing. I really try to not be very rigid, on, you know, deeper things. The Capricorn comes out sometimes.
I was going to say
that because like my house has like design wise, and I'm very meticulous about that stuff, but I want to be able to just flow, and go to what calls me. And that's her, I think, right? Like she doesn't really think about things. She just falls into the next thing and she hopes for the best. Am I wrong?
Child. No, absolutely. It's childlike energy for sure. Doesn't care what people think, actually. And so, yeah, that's a big one. The card that, so I should have said this. When I enter a reading too, I pick up, I don't know what it is. There's this weird thing about me. And I know that we're short for time. You can cut me out completely.
It's okay. I feel like this conversation is so good that it's like,
I could talk to you all day, but no, when this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but one thing is when I enter a room and I see people, it's weird. I see them as children. It's the weirdest thing. I will literally, if I walk into a room or I'm walking up to have dinner with somebody, I see them in their childlike state. Not because they're immature, but I see people as like their inner child.
I love that. So
And
that makes me want to cry. I don't know
it's
why.
very, but it's very interesting. And it, and I, so I walk in with compassion always because I'm like, I'm talking to you as a child, in your vulnerable, most vulnerable self. Even if that's not how you're actually showing up today, I have to remind myself like that is who you are. But it's
But
weird because.
that is such a tell to your gift, because that's what I'm like, people don't realize that their vision, the way they perceive things is a gift, you know? I love that so much, and so for me, like you're saying that, but it resonates so much with me because I don't see other people as children, and I love that you do that because you're seeing them. You're learning to like nothing's personal. Like everything this person does is based off of that
Their
little child
experience.
inside of them, yeah, that has gone through these things.
Yeah.
And you're seeing them as pure, and I love that so much. 11-11. So with me, that resonates so much because I little Christy for me, and that's why I always ask the question of like little Jess, where was she? Little Christy for me is my first child. Like she is, I have my two daughters, but she's my oldest. She's my oldest child, and I love her like I love the other two. And I am going to protect her and give her what I promised her and everything she dreamed of. And like she is so real to me. That I don't know. What you said just resonated so much. And I think that that's something that people, should just sit with for a little bit, is realizing that, like, again, we have you and I, we talked about our one through like 11, right? Where we were pure and we were endlessly curious and we were just like these beings of like light, and we knew what we were interested in without it being with no questions behind
No
it, with
guessing,
no, there is nothing. And then middle school comes and society drips in, and then you're starting to say, where do I belong? How do I belong? If you can't stay that way because it's just you're gonna get bullied or it's not accepted and received the way you are when you're a kid. And then the teens happen, early 20s happen, and you're just like trying to figure out what career and make money. Like everything becomes so external during that time. And if you don't ever go back and reflect on that little version of yourself and what they went through, and the lessons that they learned, the trauma that they weren't ever able to process, because you're not equipped at that age to process trauma. We all have trauma. You will just live the rest of your life externally because you never stopped and returned to that external form. And then you will also see the people around you for just that external form and never really like let me pour into this little child that had to go through all these things. So I love that so much. Sorry, I'm rambling again. I could
No,
talk
you're
about
fine.
this
When you decided your daughter was your little self, your inner child, was that before she was born or after?
forever. Like when I decided that little Christy was my firstborn. Definitely after. I had Gigi when I was 19, and I was just I've always had big faith because just growing up Christian, and then I kind of got out of that. Didn't really know what to believe in until I found, just this spirituality. But I never really reflected on that. I was so young. And then I had Gianna when I was 23, so I was just trying to survive the relationship I was in, make things for themselves. I don't think it was until close, again, my 30th birthday was, my 25th birthday was like a wide opening, and then 30 was like, huh. And every year after that, it's just been like exponential. But it was definitely after that that I started to, it's funny because I was in a abusive relationship from 15 to 25, but it wasn't until after that, like really, really with my husband and with my career. And again, it's not my husband. It was just being with someone who had their shit together. Mm-hmm. Because he did, being with someone who was in the military, being a financial planner, like all of a sudden I went from this just crazy tumultuous background where I wasn't like worth anything. And I was just really low, on the totem pole society wise and just everything I was going through, to now, like, I have to put up these impressions. Yeah. And that's when I sold myself out so many times that I lost myself.
Yeah.
More than I had lost myself before, because I was always way more outspoken. I always said whatever the fuck I wanted to say. I always got in trouble. Until I started to have to put on that persona of like wife of a really good man, and, you know,
military structure.
Professional, and I'm an adult now, you know, and it's like, I'm not, I'm still a fucking kid. So it was after that point that I remembered her, and, you know, life just gave me lessons. And I mean, I'm still remembering her. I moved back to Broward a year ago, and I had left when I was 17. And it's so funny, because it's just going down certain streets bring back memories, and I'm like, oh fuck. So it's like, she's always there, and I'm always, you know,
I love that. I was literally just telling my husband this morning, I would never move back to Broward. I could never, because I don't think I could face it. I've blocked a lot of that piece of my life. Mm-hmm. And I've dealt with it. I've been in therapy for a very long time. And so I've dealt with it. So it's not like I'm running away. It's just, that's the old me. You know what I mean?
Feel good. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I didn't realize this was going to happen. I just didn't want to, because I knew, like, I was good there. I was happy where I was living. My neighborhood was great. I was best friends with my neighbors, my kids, you know, like it was like a fucking sitcom, how perfect everything was. I didn't realize coming back, all of this was going to happen, you know, but I'm so glad that it did, because little Christy needs to redo it with me holding her hand, you know?
Yeah.
And you went to therapy for years, so I'm sure you understand what I'm talking. Like, you were able to go back there mentally, whereas I blocked it. And I didn't even know I blocked it, because, you know, I'm just like a go for it's bad, you know, just toss it and move on to the next person. I'm not person, but next thing. That now I'm like, wow. So yeah. And another thing for little Christy too, is that I just like that concept, because my number one parenting advice is always, whatever you want for your kids, you have to give to yourself. Because they're going to follow your advice. I mean, they're going to follow your example 10 times more than they follow your advice. So if you want your daughter to be strong and independent and go after her passions and, you know, not deal with assholes and, you know, like all of those things that you want for your kids, you have to give it to yourself before you give it to them. Because you can give your kids the world, but if you haven't healed yourself, they're just going to turn into you. You're just going to pass that along. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to make sure that I fed into her. I helped her. I healed her, because I know that she is the example for the rest of them, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyways.
And that's why too, like, even because you saying that, like, last piece of, like, you have to be the example for your children. And I asked you, did you see your first child as your inner self, like little you before or after? But when I got pregnant and then I found out I was having a girl, I immediately had a breakdown. And I am not, because I didn't want a girl. I think it hit me. It was reality of, like, there's this little baby angel human of a female coming into this crazy world, and I need to set the stage. I need to lead. I need to make sure all of my shit is done so that I don't transfer it onto her. I need to make sure I set the boundaries. I cut the ties. Fuck you. Let's focus on me. It was such a transformative time in my life. That's why I was wondering for you, because I was like, all right, Jess, your inner child needs a hug, and then you're going to focus on your child when they come.
Yeah, I definitely think children bring that awareness and like you said, like this beautiful, innocent baby is coming into the world and they are pure worth and they are pure love and they are pure potential. And that was me too, you know? And unfortunately, because, you know, we all have our pasts, people do things and we have traumas created and you just like have this awareness of like, oh shit, I have to protect her more than what had happened to me. And so, yeah. Anyways, so this is a long episode. I do want to wrap it up. As an extra bonus, Jess is going to give me a reading. We're going to do that in a new episode, so we give you guys a break. But Jess is there. First of all, I just loved having you on today.
Thank you.
Thank you
Yeah,
so
this
much for
was
being here. Thank you so much for accepting it. Thank you for being honest and open and sharing your energy and your light. It is felt, it is present, it is very much here in the room with us. It's not something euphoric or like, I mean, well, it is euphoric, but it's not something like, you know, so abstract that you have to be in some realm to feel it. Your light is so strong and penetrating that it just I like I'm just in a complete state of gratitude that you came on to this podcast to share this conversation with me and to share your journey and your passion and be so vulnerable with, you know, everyone at Risk It. So thank you so much for being here.
Of
I'm
course.
totally gonna ask you back because this is so much fun. We could
Yes,
totally have like a one night and just.
I know. Next time I'm down there, we absolutely should do like an, we'll have a night. We'll do a girls'
Yes.
night for sure.
Yes.
So
Let's do
I'm
it.
looking forward to that. No, but thank you so much for having me. I was so nervous. But yeah, I risk it. This is the first podcast I've ever done, and this is nothing I've ever done before. And I appreciate you just giving me the space to open up and share my gifts and share my passion and to be completely vulnerable. And just thank you. I really appreciate it.
Where can the people find you? Social media, website, email, like how do they funnel to you?
So I am in the process of building my website. It'll be ready by the time this episode launches. So I'll have it linked to my Instagram and my TikTok. But it's Talkin' Tarot. So Talkn as in naughty Tarot,
Yes.
Tarot. So first I could have said nice. But yeah, Talkin' Tarot, go find me. You can also add my personal page. I love a new friend. It's Jess Olson. But yeah, I love new connections, so feel free to reach out and follow.
How exciting. I'm so excited for it. Is there anything else you want to leave on the Risk It table?
I feel like we've talked about so much. I wasn't expecting such like raw and open conversation. So, and that is a testament to you and just how comfortable I feel with you. So thank you. And honestly, to the listeners, this is very much what the readings are like. It's a conversation, and just learn, like you said, you weren't expecting to open up so much about yourself. So that is what I do. That is like
I love it.
But yeah,
Thank
so this was a lot of fun and I can't wait to read you.
you. Yay! All right, and remember, freedom is on the other side of risk, so let's risk it all, baby. Thank you.